The questions you always had. The answers you were never given. The place to seek the truth. Welcome to Veritas.
Tonight on Veritas, we venture into one of the most confounding and unsettling mysteries of our time. Alien abductions. Picture this. You're in your home, a place where you feel secure. And suddenly, you're confronted by beings from another world, subjected to experiences that defy every notion of reality you've ever known. For many, these stories belong to the realm of fiction. But for our guest tonight, Philip Kinsella, this is a lived reality that has shaped his life's work. Philip is an author and experiencer who has spent years investigating the phenomena that have haunted him since his youth. His latest book, Terrestrial Trespassers, The Greys, Abductions, and Areas of High Strangeness, provides a chilling and thought-provoking account of these encounters. He questions everything we think we know about reality, consciousness, and the forces at play in our world. In his work, Philip doesn't just recount his terrifying encounters with the Greys, those mysterious beings that have been reported by countless others, but also pushes us to confront the deeper implications of these experiences. He challenges the boundaries of conventional thinking, urging us to consider possibilities that we might otherwise dismiss. Tonight, we'll hear his story, explore the truths he's uncovered, and ponder the questions that still remain. Philip Kinsella is coming up next. Welcome to the Veritas Project. I'm your host, Mel Hostelrich. If this is your first time listening, welcome home. To access tonight's full interview and all of our exclusive material, simply join the Veritas Plus family by clicking on the subscribe button at veritasproject.com. And while you're there, don't forget to check out the Veritas store for a range of great products, including focused life force energy. Experience the power of FLFE with a 15-day free trial today. No credit card required. If you're looking to get in touch with me, have a guest suggestion, or would like to provide feedback, simply click on the contact button on our website. Your thoughts and ideas are always appreciated. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's program. His latest book is titled Terrestrial Trespassers, The Greys, Abductions, and Areas of High Strangeness. His website is thekinsellatwins.com, and directly from Bedfordshire in the UK, I'd like to welcome Philip Kinsella. Hello, Philip, and welcome back. How are you?
I'm very well, Mel. Thank you for having me back on board. It's an honor, very much. Thank you.
My pleasure, and it's been 3 years since the last time we spoke. You have a new book. Now, I'm not going to get into how it all started. Anybody wants to listen to that interview? We really went really deep into what happened to you, but it's always a pleasure. I've been diving into the book, and there's so much to unpack, Philip. Let's start with a big picture. What do you think the Greys truly are? Are they as enigmatic to you now as when you first encountered them, or has your understanding deepened?
My understanding has deepened, and as we all know, like yourself, Mel, and many other good researchers and authors, anyone that's remotely interested in this subject, that you do go through a period of transmutation. When I was a young lad back in the 80s, my idea of the UFO phenomena was literally nuts and bolts. And that's what the media promoted, and many researchers only had that to go on. And now it's really shocking to see that most of those attitudes have changed somewhat, not only in our progression with regards to science and quantum theory, but also, I think, in the way that we're seeing this phenomena. And so, yes, with regards to the Greys, I mean, going back very briefly to the 1989 event where the abduction occurred in the village of Master Mortain, just 5 miles outside of Bedfordshire, there were some Greys that were there, one of them that was quite noticeable to me at the end of the abduction. And I remembered after the abduction thinking over and over again, you know, what these beings were, how they were able to take me from my house and then take me through solid matter and into their realm and also leave physical marks. And I remembered for some years, it was in 1996, that I kept thinking about this over and over again because I had no form of regression whatsoever. I incredibly could recall the whole account, as I still can today, as clear as though it happened yesterday. And you hear this, Mel, with many people who have these episodes of high strangeness where these situations are very clear within the human mind. And in 1996, I remembered that I was at work, and all of a sudden it seemed like my mind had opened up. And I do understand now about people having what they call downloads. I mean, if this is what it was quite spectacular, but it only happened for perhaps around about 5 or 6 seconds. And it was like a revelation had been opened, and it was about the Greys and about their possible true origins, about them, clones, the soul it brought into the equation of the soul. And I remembered that when I got home, when I made the notes at work, cheekily in a stockroom with paper and pen, I went home and I furiously typed out this article and submitted it to a magazine called Alien Encounters, which was quite large back in the day. And they published it, and they considered it revolutionary within its speculative content. And that had everything to do with these beings that we call the Greys that are masquerading or known as spacemen, which most researchers assumed. But I'm not so sure about that. I think that these beings are perhaps operating from a different level of reality and are able to infiltrate our plane of reality quite easily and through means that still to this day confound us. So the Greys, I think there are a number of possible scenarios.
By the way, Phil, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Can you put your microphone a little bit closer to your mouth?
Yes, of course.
Much better. Thank you.
Yes, sorry. So there are many researchers who have their own theories about them, and we have to be open to all forms of speculation because no one really knows. Even the abduction that I had was just as confusing today as it had been back then. Nothing was explained to me whatsoever. But we have the spaceman hypothesis, we have the demons, we have AI technology. We also have them perhaps possibly, as I've thought, being remote viewers that's coming into our reality from theirs, projecting themselves into our world, no different from a remote viewer that can actually, in some instances, with the military and trained personnel, remote influence as well. Or we could be dealing with something that's from another dimension, that is not able to reproduce. And one of the main areas, one of the main questions that fascinated me was why a species that cannot reproduce are interested allegedly in a species that can. And I say allegedly because when I had my abduction, I didn't see any hybrids or any talk of, creating these new beings through human and alien DNA. I didn't see any of that. But we have to take that into account. So I believe that these Greys are interested in us as a human species, as individuals, because we can create, reproduce. We are individual, and the Greys appear as though they are not individual. They seem to operate as we believe, as a one-mind hive consciousness. And there must be some truth to those claims, because many people who have experienced the Greys and researchers who have done their homework have discovered that these beings obviously operate within one mind hive consciousness. And that also is interesting because, with regards to this subject matter, you can go into all sorts of areas. But I believe, jumping forward a little bit here, just to make a note, that our system fears us as individuals because it wants to know what we're thinking. It wants to know what's going on. And of course, you have the system spying on people, watching them. And I believe that eventually within our future it's possible, if the system got away with it, that transhumanism will take effect. I just hope that day never comes. Let's just put it that way. So I believe that these Greys are perhaps beings that have lost themselves through the process or act of replication, cloning. And on some levels, we have to take into the spiritual aspect. And most people will say, you know, oh, that's a bit too deep, and why are you making connections there? Well, we don't know what we are as a human. In fact, most of our genesis is a bit of a mystery. And I believe that's the road that I started taking in terms of digging deeper, because I don't think the answer is just through the UFO, now UAP phenomena, or indeed the alien or now non-human entities. But I believe it has a lot to do with what we are and what we represent. And I believe that that will open up a lot of answers for us to those questions that are posed to the inquiring mind. So it is quite deep, and I believe that the Greys are after something that we have that they themselves have not.
Flying saucers, UFOs, now UAPs, it seems that term is always evolving. For what reason, I'm not sure. But you said something interesting about our genesis. There's so much about our past, our hidden history, the secrets of our own potential. But I always think about, you know, the early 1900s when there was just nothing. All of a sudden, the Wright brothers in the United States started flying. They were sued because they said, the people said, this is impossible to accomplish. Jules Verne with submarines and rockets, everybody thinking this is impossible. It's just science fiction. Why is it so difficult to understand that maybe, just maybe, time travel, if it exists, it's already happening?
Yes, and that is a very interesting theory and a subject. Of course, we have it here in the United Kingdom, the old Doctor Who series with the TARDIS that that could transfer space and time. That always fascinated me as a kid. And this is the really horrible thing, you know, when you get involved in ufology or even cryptozoology or whichever area that floats your boat. You'll find that as a ufologist, if that's what we're called, we're labeled as, it will open up these other areas of interest, certainly with cryptozoology and areas of the paranormal mind, consciousness, life after death, that type of thing. But time travel is interesting. And I think with consciousness, human consciousness, we're beginning to explore within quantum theory that the universe and indeed the mind could be some subject to some type of hologram. And I don't dismiss that. I don't doubt that at all. And memory is important because memory is held within time. So it's possible that to some degree that these beings, these entities are able to skip or slip through certain time periods. And I've been looking a lot, researching for many years now into life after death, parallel lives, what happens to us when we die, the big question. And, you know, certainly with those on the other side, our loved ones connected to perhaps some kind of supreme source that we're all linked to. But certainly it's interesting because the Greys are able to, I believe, use what I would call the psychic internet. And I have addressed this in Terrestrial Trespassers. If we think about it, Mel, we are all, as humans, conscious entities. And I liken a simple example as to the mobile phone. We all have mobile phones. People think, oh, you know, what a lovely phone. This is the phone, but it's not the phone. Actually, the phone is actually the signal, because the device itself has energy as we have, and a signal, and we have consciousness. The phone records, transmits, and receives information as we do. And when the phone dies, people think, oh, kaput, that's it. Information's lost. But it isn't, because energy cannot be destroyed. And everything that's thought, everything that's generated through energy survives. It moves into what we call, what's known as the ether, or perhaps in the quantum realm now. And these Greys, I believe, are able to time travel ostensibly. They're able to link into their subject. Be very careful not to say victim, whichever way you're viewing the Greys as, good or bad. That's the same with humans. We have the good, the bad, and the ugly. But I believe they're able to interconnect into the human psyche, into us, into what we really represent, which is spirit or soul. I think there are differentiations to be made between those two parallels, but that's another argument. And they can go through our memories because we are time-based. We as human beings live on a world that's operated through motion, and with motion comes time. And it feels to me like these entities are perhaps outside of time. Whether or not they have time within their domain remains to be seen, but they need to get to us to some level. But I also believe what's fascinating, another theory that we can postulate, is that these Greys can move through our time, through our memories. You know, they could go to any period within our time, because you find, you know, some people say, oh, I remembered when I was 5, this strange thing happened to me. And I remembered when I was 15, this strange thing happened to me. And such memories sometimes surface a little bit later in your life, whereas before you didn't have them. So it's interesting, I think, with regards to the annals of time travel, I think and feel it's possible. Absolutely. I've never discounted that theory, although, as we said previously before, my brother has differences of opinions there. But you find that, you know, in order for us to understand that, we need a time machine ourselves. And at present, as far as we're aware, we don't have one, unless, of course, the industrial military complex has one within their possession. We don't know. But certainly another area that we can just touch upon here, Mel, is, you know, another area of high strangeness is linked with events that you suddenly find have changed, you know, with regards to the future. One minute we know something and we feel something's happened, and then a few years down the line someone says to you, oh no, it's not that, it's this. So I think we're beginning to see subtle changes within these timelines, whether or not you know that these timelines are converging, and that also connects with parallel lives. But there are different areas of time travel that you can take, and you can take the conscious part, the physical part that then breaks down into non-physical nature of reality and then reappears somewhere else within time and space, or indeed another dimension. But I believe that the subject matter is absolutely fascinating.
When we last talked, we talked about the deception, how the public has been misled. Since that conversation, do you think the narrative around UFOs, now UAPs, and extraterrestrial contact has changed in the public sphere? Are we seeing a shift, or is it more of the same?
No, I believe there has been a change. And that's really a good point there, Mel. And you must be psychic, and I'll tell you why. I've been asking a few people, you know, because as researchers, we don't have all the answers. All we have are theoretical content, which is just as important. You know, a theory can't be proven until, of course, it's scientifically fact. But I wonder sometimes what the big issue is, because, you know, a lot of people now on our planet can deal with a lot of things. I mean, if you think about mainstream media, you know, take it with a pinch of salt, most of it, most people are not fazed by it anymore. You know, the horrors that we see on TV, the constant warring with our species.
There's nothing mainstream about the mainstream media, by the way, as you know.
That's right. Yes, absolutely. So in question to the UFO situation, there must be something else behind it, behind this. It's not just a case of, oh, you know, we remembered Orson Welles's, you know, broadcast of H.G. Wells' version of War of the Worlds and everyone went into a blind panic. We have got past that point now. I think that as a public, they know all about UFOs. They've heard of them, whether they believe them or not is one thing or another. So I don't feel that it's got anything to do with the fact that the public will go AWOL if the system suddenly comes forward and says, oh, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, UFOs, UAPs are real. No, and if you remembered back, I'm you know, black and white with everything. We had some cases on the national news here about certain objects being brought down. They called them on the news channels UFOs. Okay, they called them UFOs. They were brought down, and I can't remember what that was all about, the foreign objects, but they called them UFOs. And I thought, well, that's the first time that we've heard that on national news channels. And most ufologists here in England were puzzled, concerned why the news channels were actually broadcasting UFOs. Was this some kind of psychological test to see how people would react? And to be honest with you, it came and then it went. It fizzled out. It was about these objects. One of them crashed into the waters and the military were going to go in to check them out. And we didn't hear any more about it. They considered them balloons to begin with, I think, or they shot down a balloon or a UFO. But they were using the acronym UFO, and they've never done that before. So the public didn't react to it. I mean, you know, we didn't see anyone running out in the streets and going crazy. Oh, you know, the UFO's crashed and, you know, they're going to go in and have a look and see what it is. No, I believe that there is a much darker reason, I think. And most people will reject that hypothesis. And I'm not saying that all the ETs are negative. But what I'm saying here is that there has to be another reason as to why the UFO...
Thank you for listening. To unlock the full two-hour interview, including video formats, downloads, transcripts, exclusive articles, and more, subscribe to Veritas Plus now. Gain access to our entire archive dating back to 2008. Just click subscribe at veritasproject.com. To listen to the rest and access all of our exclusive material, head over to the Veritas Plus member section or click the subscribe button at veritasproject.com. Don't forget to visit the Veritas store for a range of great products, including focused life force energy. Experience the benefits with a 15-day free trial of FLFE today. No credit card required. If you'd like to get in touch with me, be a guest on the program, have a guest suggestion, or want to provide feedback, just click the contact button on our website at veritasproject.com. Thank you for listening to The Veritas Project, because you don't want to believe, you want to know. What are you waiting for? Subscribe now at veritasproject.com.